2 Kings in chapter number 2. While you're finding your way to our text tonight, let me say what a joy it has been to be here these days. Sure do love you, Pastor, and his family, and thank the Lord for this church and what the Lord's doing here. I appreciate the nice place to stay and the meals and the fellowship, and just appreciate y'all being what you are and loving the Lord and loving preaching. I don't think I've ever preached here what I didn't have real good liberty to preach. It's not like that everywhere. And many times when I leave churches and head back to the house for Thursday night service, that's about the only time I get any liberty to preach is when I get back to our church, to our people. I would rather preach to them folk than anybody in the world. And I think it ought to be that way with every pastor of church. But I have appreciated good liberty to preach this week. And I appreciate that. It means people are receptive. People are responsive. And I appreciate that. I really do. Thank y'all for appreciating the Word of God, loving the Scripture, and helping the messenger out. So 2 Kings chapter 2, I've been trying to get to this text all week. And it seems like every night the Lord is kind of just directing my heart a different way by the time we get to the service. But I believe we got the green light to be able to go this way tonight and leave you with this concluding thought. And I would appreciate if you'd pray for me. We'll leave early in the morning and go try and catch a plane and go back to North Carolina. If you'll pray for us, we'll do the same for you. Looking at the end of Elijah's ministry, but really it's not going to be the end of his ministry because his ministry is going to continue on in somebody else. I think that's the plan of God for everybody's life and ministry, that when you pass off the scene, you don't really pass off the scene. You instill into someone else's life that they continue to carry with you, with them. God help you if you're such a self-centered Christian that when you die, you haven't made an impact on anybody. I hope that can't be said of my life for record. I hope when I'm gone, I have put something in somebody else's life that they still, like the sister saying, they still appreciate the old-time way tonight. 2 Kings chapter 2, let's begin reading in verse number 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, I don't want to be just like you. I want more than what you got. Let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. It came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. I'd like to use this text as our springboard tonight, where Elisha asked for double of what Elijah has. And I'd like to walk through the life story of Elijah's successor. Tonight I would like for us to examine from the beginning of Elisha's ministry all the way till after he's dead and gone to the glory world. And I'd like to preach on this subject tonight, the man who wanted more. The man who wanted more. From the time that Elisha comes on the scene in 1 Kings chapter 19, all the way to the end of his life that we'll examine in a little while, he's a man that's not satisfied with average, okay, so-so, run-of-the-mill. He's not satisfied just to be a lukewarm pew warmer. He wants to do more with his life. He wants God to do more with his life. He realizes the only way to get more out of his life is if God gets more of him. I find the reason why many people don't want to do more for the Lord is that requires them giving more to the Lord tonight. Mark this down. If you're going to do more for the Lord, you're going to have to give more to the Lord this evening. We live in a generation that doesn't want to give anything up. We live in a generation of self-centered, self-absorbed, selfish Christians that they want a Savior and they want a God that lavishes everything on them, but they lavish nothing on Him. We appreciate the fact that God gave us and gives us so much. But then when we turn that idea around and realize the fact that because God does give so much, has given so much, then He demands some things out of our life tonight. That's not the God many people are looking for. We're looking for a God that does stuff for us, but we don't have to give anything up or do anything for Him in return. I'm not talking about for salvation. That's signed, sealed, and settled tonight. I'm talking about for service this evening. Salvation is God coming after man. But service is man going after God tonight. Salvation was God giving up everything to buy us. But service is us denying ourselves, taking up a cross, and following Him in self-sacrifice and self-service tonight. Here we find Elisha asked for this double portion, and he gets it. You're going to find if you study Elisha's life, he does twice as many miracles on the dot, twice as many miracles in his life as Elijah does. He's a man that wants more. Elijah does 8 miracles. Elisha does 16. Can I say tonight there's nothing wrong with wanting more? As long as what you're wanting more of is more of the Lord. I find all through my New Testament, here's your little Bible study to do. Go to the Pauline epistles and look up the word more and see how many times Paul said that he wanted the church to abound more and more in knowledge and in wisdom and in joy and in fruitfulness. And we find we serve a God that's able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. He can do more. The limitation is not with God doing more. The limitation is with us allowing God to work through us so He can do more tonight. I find this, let me just say by way of introduction, I got several things to say tonight. I find that many of God's people, sadly in this day, Preacher Riley, they don't want more power, they just want more pleasure. This is what your Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that in the last days men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God tonight. That's the day that we're living in. I find Elisha's a different breed. Can I just say real quick by way of introduction, Elisha knew it would cost him to get more. Elisha knew it was going to cost him to get more. We find originally in 1 Kings chapter 19, he would have to forsake some people to get more. You realize sometimes in your life, you're going to have to just choose to walk away from some people if you're going to have more of God. I found in life, if you choose to live a separated life, people will call you all kind of things, Brother Sam, that they'll say you're a legalist and say you're a Pharisee. But can I say this is the fact of the Christian life. I found this out. It's not that I'm better than anyone. It's not that I'm more holy than anyone. That's not it. I've just found this out, that if I'm going to have more of Him, I got to have less of some people. And if I'm going to walk with God more, I got to walk with some people less. Because the more you walk with some people, the less you're going to be walking with God this evening. Let's just be honest. There are some people that you know of in your life. They could be family. They could be co-workers. They can be friends, but the more you're around them, the less you act like Jesus, the less you look like Jesus, the less you talk like Jesus, the less you think like Jesus. And so if you're going to be more like Him, you're going to have less of them. And that doesn't mean you're better than them. That just means you want more of God in your life.
We find Elisha right when he comes on the scene talking about forsaken people. 1 Kings 19, you go read it for yourself. When Elijah finds Elisha, the Bible said he's plowing with the yoke of oxen. And Elijah says, come on, let's go. Follow me. And Elisha says, I need to go home and say goodbye. And he does. He runs home. He tells mama bye. He tells daddy bye. He burns the oxen. He burns the yoke. And he strikes out after Elijah. He says, I want more of what you got. And if I'm going to get more of what you got, I'm going to have to forsake some people and forsake some things. I mean, brother, he burnt some stuff up so he could never go back to it again. The problem with some Christians is they've gotten saved and they've gotten born again, but they've never burnt their plow. They've never burnt some things of their old life, and they keep going back to it. The best thing you could do tonight is burn some bridges behind you so you never go back to them again. Make a loud, bold declaration that I'm walking with God so that everybody knows whose side you're on tonight. Amen. I mean, I still think it's all right to look like a Christian. Let the world know right where you stand. I mean, brother, when it comes to how you look on the outside, I know people don't preach on that no more, and that's fine. But we got a day and age where we don't ever preach on the outside. I don't believe you ought to hammer on that, and that's all you ought to preach on. But let me just say this. The outside does matter tonight. You say, oh, preacher, you know what the Bible said over in 1 Samuel? Man looketh on the outward appearance. Exactly. Are you not called to be a testimony, a witness, and a representation for Jesus Christ? And if man's going to look on the outside, they ought to see there's something different about you than there is about them. He had to forsake some people. He had to face some persecution. Do you know what he knew when he decided to walk with Elijah? He knew this. This is a persecution sentence. He had watched Elijah's ministry. Do you know what he knew by watching Elijah's ministry, Brother Don? He knew that guy has been persecuted by Ahab and Jezebel. That guy has been hated by the prophets of Baal and the modern religion of our times. If I follow him and try and get more of that, that means people's going to hate me. That means I'm going to face some persecution. That means I'm going to face some opposition in my life. We live in a day we don't want any opposition. We don't want a persecution. Just fly under the radar. But if you're going to get more of the Lord, there's going to be some persecution in this thing. He had to forsake some people. He had to face some persecution. He had to faithfully pursue. Here in our text, 2 Kings chapter number 2, 2 Kings 2, we find he faithfully pursues Elijah all the way till he goes up in the whirlwind. We find over and over people, I don't have time to read it, but if you read the first 8 verses of 2 Kings chapter 2, you'll find constantly people are trying to keep him, Brother Don, people's trying to keep him from walking with Elijah. Keeps telling him, hey, just stay here. Hey, don't you know your master's leaving? Hey, and he keeps saying, yeah, I know it, but I'm going all the way. I ain't going to be a halfway Christian. I ain't stopping right here. I'm going all the way. God, give us some people that will faithfully walk with God and faithfully pursue the things of God. Why? Because they want more. Here's the message tonight. Here's the message. Don't miss it. We're going to look at some things tonight. Here's the message about the man who wanted more. Because Elisha wants more, and because he sacrifices so much to get more, and because he faces so much persecution to get more, and because he faithfully pursues his walk with God to get more, watch this. He doesn't understand why other people don't want more too. I'm going to show you, we're going to look at it all through his life, the constant aggravation of Elisha's life is ministering to people that are not like him. The constant aggravation of Elisha's life is ministering to half-hearted people that don't want more like he wants more. And y'all, can I say this? I am no Elisha. I am no Elijah. I couldn't touch the hem of them dudes' garments. I'm a long ways off from any of them. But I will say this. I look around at the generation, my generation. I ain't even talking to the older saints of God in here. I'll let somebody more seasoned than me do that. Maybe Brother Riley come preach after a while. He's old. He can do it. I just talk to my generation here tonight. I didn't mean that disrespectful. I mean he's a seasoned man of God. I just talk to my generation tonight. And this is what I find in my generation. Brother, I'm looking around, and we're living in a generation that I look and I say, why don't you want more? Why are you so satisfied with this last day's Laodicean lukewarm Christianity? Why are you so satisfied with just this half-hearted, halfway in, halfway out mentality? Why don't you want more? Because there's more to be had in the Christian life. Stop settling for a substandard worship. Stop settling for a substandard walk with God. Stop settling for a substandard witness. Stop settling for a substandard understanding of your Bible. There's more to be had. Why don't you want more? He didn't understand it. He just doesn't understand it. Over and over, he questions people. He gives up so much to get more. He faces so much persecution to get more. He faithfully pursues so far to get more. And he looks at other people's lives and he says, why don't you want this? Amen. This is the greatest life on the planet. And I watch people's lives and I wonder the same thing. It's not that hard. My wife all the time, my wife will come to me and we'll talk about this, that, or the third, and watching certain Christians' lives, and it just don't seem like they ever get it. You know what I'm talking about? Like, it's like they just don't ever get the simple concepts like be faithful, read your Bible, witness, pray, live right, do right, be faithful to your spouse. It's just these common, simple things. And my wife always says, it just ain't that hard to do right. She looked at me and she says, Zorn, I don't understand this. It just ain't that hard. And people try and complicate it. It's not that hard. If you want more, you can have more. And if you want less, you can have that too. But I want to show you some things that Elisha got more of. And he didn't understand why other people didn't want more of it too. And I hope by the end of the message, and we're not going to take too long tonight, but I hope by the end of the message we all say we want more of this. So let me say, number one, Elisha wanted more and didn't understand why others didn't want more. Number one, in his filling. In his filling. Look at 2 Kings chapter 4. 2 Kings 4. Elisha wanted to get more in his filling. Didn't understand why others didn't want more in their filling. 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a woman whose husband died. Let's just read the text. Verse number 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow it, not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest. I want you to notice what Elisha told this woman. Look at verse 3. Look at verse 3. He said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Watch what he says. Borrow. Don't get a few. Get more. Why? Because God's got more oil. Don't just get a few of them. Get as many as you can get. Borrow not a few. Y'all, do you know what stopped the oil from continuing to flow in this story? There was no more empty vessels. Y'all, listen to me. I'm telling you the facts tonight. Had that woman still had vessels to this day, they'd still be pouring oil out of it right now. Thousands of years later. That woman right there tapped into an oil reserve bigger than all the oil in Texas, Iraq, Iran, Afghanistan combined. She tapped into an oil reserve from another world. And as long as there was empty vessels, oil would keep on running. The only thing that stopped oil from from flowing was there was no more empty vessels. And Elisha's sitting there, and I got to think he's wondering, I told you not a few. I told you to get more, get more, get more, get as many as you can handle, because God can do more if you'll give Him more to work with. And tonight, you want to know what the problem is in a lot of churches? We don't have any empty vessels anymore. We all just a little bit too full. The Bible said the Laodicean church, they were rich, increased with goods, and had need of nothing. They was just too full. They was too full of stuff, too full of pride, too full of the world. You know many times why we come to church and we leave just as empty as we came, and we don't get anything of God in us? Because we came too full of the world's junk. We came so full of our burden, came so full of our problem, came so full of worry, came so full of Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, came so full of television and internet, came so full of this stuff that when we got to the house of God and God said, man, I got some oil to pour in them. I got some stuff that'll help them. I got some stuff that'll heal them. I got some stuff that'll make them a blessing to somebody else. He looks and he says, I need an empty vessel. Someone bring me an empty vessel. I need someone I can put some of my stuff into. But they already ain't too full. I feel like if we would come to church more often empty, we might leave full. I'm not talking about empty of God. I'm talking about empty wanting God. It'll show up and say, God, as the hart panteth after the water brook, so panteth my soul after Thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Oh, I want to get full. There's a fellow that's Elisha's helper. His name's Gehazi. You want to know something about old Gehazi? He don't want more of God. He wants more gold. Old Gehazi, I don't have time, but if you go to chapter 4 and read about it, Elisha's got some trust in him. There's a woman whose son dies. Elisha gives him his staff and says, you run in front of us, touch him with my staff, pray over him, thinking this is going to bring him up, thinking that he's got more like Elisha's got more. But he ain't got more like Elisha's got more. And he goes and touches him, and he realizes he ain't got the God that Elisha's got. Why? Well, we find in chapter 5 when Naaman the leper come to get healed, Gehazi wasn't after God. He was after gold. He's not after the things of God. He's after the things of this world. Can I say this? I'm nothing and I'm nobody. But I do say this. When I got called to preach, when God saved me and called me to preach, I was not satisfied just to be the average pew warmer, the average individual that just wasn't never going to do anything. I eschewed that, and I said, God, I want you to use my life preaching everywhere I could preach. And I'm not talking about in pulpits and churches. I'm talking about nursing homes and jails and prisons and street corners and juvenile delinquent ministries and rest homes and anywhere that they give me opportunity to preach, that's where I'd go. Brother, I remember I'd go to a lot of them meetings, Brother Sam, where them old men of God would be around there, and I'd listen to them preach, and I'd sit there and cry and weep. I'd say, oh, God, I want what they got. Oh, God, I want what they got. And I mean, I'd walk up them old men, and I'd say, I want you to pray over me. You say, oh, that's goofy. That's mysticism. I don't know about all that. I know them fellas come to Moses and said, hey, won't you pray and ask God to put some of your spirit on us? And God took some of Moses' spirit and stuck it off on them fellas. That Bible said that when Paul prayed over Timothy, something was transferred there with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. I'm talking about what the Bible said. And I'd say, preacher, I want you to pray over me. You say, what was you looking for? Just more. I still don't understand all of it. I just know if God's got it, I want it tonight. I ain't talking about spooky stuff. I ain't talking about charismatic stuff. I'm just talking about having a closer walk with God and having more in my life. More filling. Do you want God to fill you more? The only thing that's stopping it is not Him. The oil's still running. The problem is vessels. Vessels. I don't believe in all that stuff you're talking about there. What are you going to do with that over there in Ephesians chapter 5? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Sounds like God's still looking for some empty people to fill up. He wanted more in his filling. Can I say secondly, he wanted more in his faith. didn't understand why other people didn't want more in their faith. Look at chapter 6. Like I say, this is the constant aggravation. It's the constant irritation of Elisha. He just don't get it. Why don't they want more? Woman, why didn't you get more vessels? Could have been more oil. Here's a fellow that he doesn't have more in his faith. 2 Kings chapter 6. We find in this text the king of Assyria is getting all kinds of frustrated. And the reason, brother, why he's all kinds of frustrated, Brother Andrew, is because he keeps laying ambushes, well thought out, well planned out ambushes for the king of Israel. And every time that he's got his ambush just absolutely set up and laid out, you can read it down through there, verses 8, 9, 10, around in there. Every time he's got it laid out, all of a sudden the ambush don't work out. Because Elisha been talking to God. And Elisha goes and tells the king, King, don't go that way, don't go that way, don't go that way, because they're down there and they're waiting for you behind the bushes. And he thwarts the ambush. And so the king of Syria says, hey, somebody in the midst of us is an infiltrator. Somebody's a snitch. Somebody telling the plans. Who done it? And somebody comes up to him with half one-eyed sense and says, there ain't none of us. There's a fellow down there, a preacher named Elisha, who's got a hold of God. And Elisha's telling the king of Israel everything you're talking about in your bedchamber. And so the king of Assyria says, all right, then let's go down there and get him. Now watch what it said. Verse 13. 2 Kings 6, 13. And he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, what in the world are we going to do? Alas, master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not. Watch it. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Elisha says, why can't you see what I see? He don't understand. This guy's looking around. He said, oh, it's over his curtains. We're all going to die. Look, master, they got us surrounded. We're outnumbered and outgunned. Let's just wave the white flag. Let's just give up. And Elisha says, I wish you saw what I saw. I wish you could have more faith to see there's more with us than there is with them. Lord, let this boy have more. God, let this boy see more. Lord, let this boy have more faith. I'll be honest, I watched some Christians tonight, and they're constantly upset, tore up, worried about everything they can see. It's all about what they can see. And it seems like they never tap into that faith life where they see things they can't see, where they realize there's a God on the throne. I like what this brother said earlier about a sovereign God working in his life. I believe there is a God that sits on the throne. And I believe he is a holy, righteous God that rules and reigns. And I believe tonight we have more with us than Biden's got with him. We got more with us than the devil's got with him. We got more with us than the world's got with him. But you can't see it with human eyes. You got to see it with spiritual eyes of faith tonight. Say, man, that sounds psychosomatic. That sounds almost a little Joel Osteen-ish. Maybe I could smile for you like him tonight. Would this make the message more palatable? No, it's not. It sounds like Paul to me. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter number 4 or 5, he said, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Paul said, we ain't even supposed to look at what we can see. We're supposed to keep our eyes on things we can't see tonight. He wonders why this guy don't have more faith to see. I don't have time to look at it. There's a guy in chapter 7. Elisha wonders why he don't have more faith in God's supply. They got a big old famine in Samaria. You go home, read that. Chapter 7, there's a famine in the land. And Elisha says, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. Tomorrow, at this time, God's going to give us so much food, it's just going to be out the banks. You ain't even going to believe it. And the fella comes up and says, I'm going to tell you what, you a crazy nut job of a preacher. If God would make windows in heaven, it couldn't be. And Elisha said, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get to see it, but you ain't going to get to experience it. And sure enough, when it happens, when God done it, the next day, you go read how He done it, it's awesome. When God done it, that fella didn't even get to partake because all the people got in such a big rush to run out and go get the food that God gave, they trampled him and they killed him. There's a guy, Elisha wondered, why can't you believe there's a God that can supply all our need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus? Why don't you believe there's a God that can provide for you and your family? Why don't you believe there's a God that can supply every single need you have, emotional, financial, physical, spiritual? Are you His child? Do you take care of your children? That Bible said, Jesus said, which one among you, if you got a child that asks his father bread, will he instead give him a stone? If he asks an egg, will he give him a serpent? And if ye being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? This I say unto thee, ask, ye shall receive, seek, and ye shall find, knocking, it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and him that knocketh, it shall be opened. I'm talking about seeing things you can't see. More. He wanted more faith. Wanted more in his feelings. Can I say this? He wanted more in his fighting. This is a fellow that fights all the way to the finish, y'all. Look at chapter 13. I love to hound out of this. I like this story as good as any of them that I'm going to read to you tonight. This one right here, this is as good as anything I'm going to read to you. I love to see an old man with some fight in him. Amen. Elisha's laying on his deathbed. Talking about he wanted more in his fight. Look at 2 Kings 13:14. 2 Kings 13:14. Watch what it said here. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. And Joash the king of Israel came unto him and went over his face and said, Oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot. And he shot. And he said, Watch it now, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance for Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. Watch it, verse 18. And he said, Watch what Elisha says, Take arrows. And he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, Smite upon the ground. And this fellow, he ain't like Elisha. He just real kind of half-hearted. Look at him. This is dumb. Shoot out the window. Smite with the arrows. Okay, preacher. All right, I know you tell me. All right. Satisfied now? Happy now? My little half-hearted. I mean, I done what I was supposed to do. Come Sunday morning, or come Sunday night, or come Wednesday night. You happy now? No! I'm talking about watch this guy get ripped off. Verse 19. And the man of God was wroth with him. He finna die. He's getting all ticked off. Elisha. Chill out. Your blood pressure getting up. You don't need to get all ripped off on your deathbed. Oh, he ticked about this. Why? Because he's a man that wants more. Right. He doesn't understand even in his dying days why others don't want more. Watch what he says. He was wroth with him and said, Thou shouldest have smitten 5 or 6 times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. Do you know why Elisha's mad, Brother Andy? I'll tell you why he's mad. Because Elisha is looking at this like he would have done it. See, Elisha's putting himself here, and Elisha remembers when he was the young man wanting more and needing more from God. And Elisha's sitting there, and Elisha's thinking, if Elijah had asked me to smite the ground, I'm a man of more. I tell you what, Elisha's sitting there thinking, if Elijah had handed me arrows and said, hey, smack the ground. Every how many times you smack it, that's how much deliverance you're going to get. Elisha's sitting there thinking, I'd have went, I mean, he'd have just kept on smacking till it tore something up. Why? He wants more. And he watches this half-hearted fella, just real half-hearted like. Good enough? No. You could have got more. And I'm watching a generation. I like being up here with y'all. You know why I like being up here with y'all? Like why I like being down there where I'm at, North Carolina. We got a bunch of just gun barrel straight, sure enough, manly men with no lace on their drawers. I like these fellas up here. There ain't no denying they're men. I like it. But we are living in such a soft, effeminate day of Christianity where we have taken the masculinity even out of our men in our churches. We've taken the teeth out of our men in our churches. And we're living in a day where the men don't lead the home. The wives have to lead the home. The men ain't leading them to church. The wife having to lead them to church. The men ain't leading them to God. The wives having to. And I sit there and I think, man, it's just this real passive generation of men. No, sir. What God needs is some men that'll pick up the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and say, God, I'm not quitting until you give some victory in this thing. God, I need some victory in my life. You say, preacher, I don't believe in all that. What you going to do with greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world? And we're more than conquerors through him that loved us. And thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. God wants to give more victory. It's up to us if we want to claim it tonight. Do you want more? Not just as good enough. I fulfilled my duty. You know, I did my duty. No. Above and beyond that. More. Inner fight. More in her faith. More in her feeling. I'm done. Look at the end of chapter 13. More in our finish. This is awesome stuff. This really is. This is awesome stuff, y'all. This dude gets more in his finish than most people get in their whole life. Watch this. Verse 20, chapter 13. This is going to be Elisha's last miracle. And Brother Jonathan, he does it after he's dead. Y'all, he fixing to do something after he's dead, Brother W.D. Check it out. More in his finish. Verse 20, chapter 13. And Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. So, real fast, I told you he does twice as many miracles as Elijah does. I was counting them all up one day, because I heard somebody say that, Brother Sam, and so I was counting them all up. Somebody said it, so I'm like, I'm going to check them out. That's a good thing to do when you're listening to preaching. Don't just take a preacher's word. Look it up in the book. That's why we got a book. That's why we preach the Bible. Go home, check it out. We don't got no potpourri going on here. Amen. The only potpourri we got is air freshener. Praise God. We ain't got no hierarchy around here. We got a pastor that leads the church as God sees fit. But this is our authority. Go check him out. Don't take his word for it. Don't take my word for it. Check it. That's why you got a Bible. Amen. Anyway, so I checked him out, and I started counting. I found, you know, Elijah does 8 miracles. I did 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. I found all 15 of them that Elisha does. But then I'm like, that ain't twice as many. That's one short. And then I read where he dies. And I said, well, I went back counting them again. I'm one short. And the Lord said, well, keep on reading after he's dead. He catches his last one after he done caught a ride out of here. Read, this is awesome stuff. Where am I at? I lost my place in my Bible. Chapter 13, verse 20, verse 21. And it came to pass, as they were burying a man, that behold, they spied a band of men, and they cast the man into the sepulcher of Elisha. And when the man was let down and touched the bones of Elisha, he revived and stood up on his feet. The old boy's raising people from the dead after he's dead. Y'all, that's bad to the bone stuff right there. Truly, it said he touched the bones of Elisha. Say, what in the world's that got to do with us, preacher? One, I can't raise the dead. And two, I probably ain't going to be doing none of that after I'm dead. No. It's kind of some of what I was saying at the beginning. Elisha's such a man of more, don't miss this, y'all, that he is affecting people beyond the grave. I have absolutely no desire to live a Christian life that ends when they put me 6 foot under and I'm in glory with the Lord. Say, was your desire in your Christian life that what I do now in this life is affecting people after I'm already gone to another world and that I'm leaving something behind? Let me just say it like this before I get into a broader scope. You mamas and you daddies that's got these youngins that are sitting on these pews with y'all, you've got an opportunity to put something in their life that a long time after you're gone, they're still living what you instilled in their life. They're still walking with Jesus. I'm going to tell you this. God forbid the day. I hope the trumpet sounds first, but if it don't, brother Andy, if God forbid the day, but if it does come to this, that I have to bury my mama or bury my daddy, and Jesus ain't come by then, I'm going to tell you this, there's things they put in my life, things they instilled in my life as a young man and led me to God and pointed me towards Jesus and put that book in me, that their ministry will still be going on a long time past the grave. And could you not join me tonight in saying this? Those of you that's been around church for any length of time, you can look back in your life and see in your mind's eye that white-haired Sunday school teacher that taught you Jesus loves me, this I know. Or put some verse of Scripture in your life. I can think right now in my mind, brother, I can think of Sunday school teachers that are dead and gone to heaven, but when I was just a little fella, they'd faithfully show up every Sunday morning. And a little old boy was sitting in their class that was just a rambunctious, rowdy, rebellious little youngin' like everybody else. And they had no idea that though they were putting in his life would one day go all across the country preaching the Word of God to people every night of his life. And they gone to heaven. But tonight, right now, tonight, they are reaping rewards from what I'm doing right now. They're clipping coupons tonight off of my ministry because they put something in me a long time ago. Preacher told me about y'all's faithfulness in the church here and others I don't know that's been here for a long time since before he got here. And I'm going to tell you something. That kind of stuff is faithfulness that you put something into people for a long time. That's going to go on a long time after the finish in this life. And I want to make sure when I'm done that I lived such a life of more for Jesus that I did that for somebody else. That after I'm dead, did you see what it done? I'm done. Brother Sam, would you help me over here? I'm through. But did you see what it said? It said after he's dead that when that fella's bones touched him, when his body touched him, he revived. His life was still causing revival. Most people can't cause revival when they're living. This guy's causing revivals when he's dead. You say, preacher, that's what I want. It will cost you something to have more. It'll cost the church something to have more. It'll cost a Christian something to have more. You're going to have to forsake some things and some people. You're going to have to make your mind up. I'm going to follow personally. Face the persecution, but it's worth it to get more. It's worth it. It's worth it. I would like to be a man of more. What about you, sister? What about you, brother? Would you like to be a Christian of more? Let's all stand tonight. Father, I did my best to try and deliver what you gave me. And I pray that it would be a blessing and a help to somebody's life. Father, what I preach tonight, I fall so short of so many times. God, I pray that you'd entrust me with more. Help me to give you.